Namaste. Let's take a moment to acknowledge this which is ourself, this which is here. So begin with three deep full breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. As you breathe out, just allow yourself to rest into this moment, allowing yourself to be fully here. And with that out breath, notice that the only thing that is real is this moment, here now. It is the awareness that is here. What appears as the happening of this moment is just rising and falling. It's a flow of energy. Here in this presence. So as you breathe, rest into your innermost being. Just allow yourself to settle into this place that is awareness. With each breath, resting deeper and deeper into this awareness. And as you do, notice the calm and the silence that is here within. This calm, this silence is the aware self. And as you rest more and more deeply within this awareness, there is greater and greater openness, and actually in greater and greater centering, there's just all openness. Everything is simply rising and falling within the presence that is awareness. This aware self is the one that has always been, is always here, always in the now. No matter what comes or goes, awareness remains. And likewise, it's awareness that is the very same presence of all existence, all being. It's all this one consciousness. Everything is abiding within the field of consciousness. And as you center within this, you are the depth of all open presence and all connectedness. Take a deep breath as you feel this all open and all connected presence here now. Notice the calm, the stillness, and that everything is perfect here in this moment. It's effortless here now, already its own perfect being. as this centered, aware presence now, take a deep breath. As you do, breathing in, as this which is purely here now, centered, open, receptive, and aware. Take another breath as you acknowledge this gift. Breathing into your heart, take a moment to give thanks. Acknowledging the gift that is here as we bring ourself into this which is truly our being, this awareness and the grace of this calm that is here in presence. You breathe with this thanksgiving. Feel yourself breathing into your body through your form. Feel it alive and flowing in every cell, radiating through your aura, emanating into life, connected with all life. Absolutely connected as this one presence that is life here now. And take another breath into your body. Gently stretch. And as you slowly open your eyes, just allow yourself still to be centered in this aware presence, experiencing this moment with the awareness that you are that is here. So many of you have been here before. Some of you may be the first time you're here, and perhaps the word namaste is familiar to you, maybe it's not. Some of you have heard me convey before that this word is such a rich and deep and beautiful and connecting word, because when we look into what it means, it expresses or conveys that recognition of the same divine presence, that sacredness that's within each of us. And whether we call that God or the divine or our true self or our soul, it's an acknowledgement that this presence that is the source of being, existence in me, sees this presence, the source of being, existence in you. In another way, we could say the love within me sees the love within you. As we bring ourselves right back to the essence of what this spark of life is, or what is this sacredness or divinity, really we come back to love. But then we can really ponder over and over, around and around, all over the place, what is love, can't we? And of course we can come up with all sorts of stories or interpretations, and typically we refer to various life experiences. But oftentimes it's still, I guess, caught in the questions of dividedness, you know, a sense of dualism or polarity. Some of you would recall two weeks ago, the satsang before, I raised this inquiry or topic of the tendency for, even on the spiritual path, to question, you know, to need to question everything, and that all too often the whole spiritual journey is still perpetuating this questioning. So I talked about the Zen of life. I gave a little example about the master Chuk, the Zen master Chuk. And just as a little refresher, you know, the Zen master Chuk is there having a conversation with the other Chuks, and he looks at one of the chickens. He says, "Chicken." And the chicken looks at him. And the master Chuk says, "Road." Then the master Chuk says, "There is no other side. The crossing is within." Of course, I was talking about, you know, this little joke we've so often heard, you know, the joke of, well, why did the chicken cross the road? And if you think about it, in a way, the ego is very much like this. It's constantly saying, well, why this or why that? Why do we have to this or why do we have to that? So let's really go to the heart of that. And you'll know that there's always the questions, right? Well, even though you hear the concepts, I am that, all is truth, all is perfect, it's all one, it's all consciousness, there is no doing, there's only being. I mean, you can think over so many different truths, right? And yet still the mind comes up with this, but why? Or, well, if I really am that, then why am I doing this? Right? You all know that, don't you? You're familiar with those typical questions? Are you all awake? Hello, are you here? Okay, so how many of you recognize that you may have heard great truths, you may have even had some wonderful insights yourself, and yet this niggling question still arises, but why? Okay, so here you are on your journey. Like I say, you hear all these wonderful truths that everything is perfect as it is, existence is as it is. But if it is as it is, why? Why do I feel conflict? Why do I even have the experience of my ego? Why am I unconscious if I'm already the all God, all enlightened being, etc., etc., etc.? Well, really it's one thing. You can present any one of your objections. Doesn't matter what it is. And the objection is always kicked off with, if this or this or that, then why? Or just, well, why? Or why not? And there is one answer. And only one. And you can present any number of objections. You can present any number of questions, any number of why this, why that, any version of that question, and you will get the same answer when you come into the heart of truth. Love. Why are you having this experience? Because you are love born to experience express, discover, and love. In every single situation, you find yourself challenged, you find yourself presented with conflict, judgment, attachment, expectation, rejection. No matter what the condition is, the why is so that you can remember, live, express, and give more love until, as love, from love, from the remembering and knowing of love, you grow into the totality of love. That is it. That is the whole truth behind the human journey, the human quest. And it is the whole truth behind every one of your questions of why. Think about it for a moment. Think about a situation in your life, perhaps something you feel challenged by, maybe someone who rubs you up the wrong way. Maybe you have an attachment and the universe isn't giving it to you that way. Whatever it is, think about it for a moment. Ultimately, what are you trying to bring yourself to through actually having that experience? Where is it leading you? What is it asking you to know, to be, to do, to express? Is it asking you to judge more? Is it asking you to hold on more? Is it asking you to have more objections? Absolutely not. You know, for some reason today, this little event arose in my awareness that was many, many years ago. I got invited to schools on occasion to share with young people, and you know, just sometimes to present to the teachers different ways of engaging youth or children, even very young children, with activities that help keep alive happiness and peace and well-being. So anyway, this one particular time, I got invited. At first, I was actually invited in with older children, like the grade sevens, but as the teachers started talking amongst themselves, I got invited into this really young class. I think it was like a prep or a grade two or something. They're around, you know, sort of 5, 6 years old. And the children, of course, were, as children are, all, you know, fidgety and excited because something different was happening. And so I sat down with the children. And of course, I don't ever really have a plan when I enter into places like this. Anyway, I sat down on the floor with the kids, and this question just popped out of my mouth. I looked at them all. I said, this was after a few little hellos, of course. So I said, what's love? They all went, their eyes went bright, and they all sat up, and they were all excited. Every single one of them had up their hand and wanted to share something. Well, one little girl, she said, it's when my mummy gives my daddy the best piece of chicken. And then another little girl said, well, it's when someone is crying and you cry with them. And then another girl said, it's when my puppy dog licks me. And she was so excited about it. Anyway, these children were just leaping with joy to share what is love. And there was one little boy, I noticed him, sitting there just like, he's watching and he's listening to everyone and he's jiggling and he's watching and he's listening. And he's looking at everyone. And he's looking at me, then he's nut looks away. I'm thinking, oh, he wants to say it? No, he doesn't want to say it. He wants to say it? No, he doesn't want to say it. Anyway, eventually, after everyone had shared, all the kids had said something, then he puts up his hand. He says, my name is Jack, and love is what you know before all the bad stuff happens. I was like, ah, really? Oh, okay. Well, what's the bad stuff? He went, I don't know. I said, well, why don't you know? He said, because it's not real. I said, so if it's not real, why do you know it's bad? He said, because it's, he was getting so frustrated. I said, what, you mean like it's a story? He said, yes, it's a story. I said, oh, thank you, Jack. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't that true? So love is what we know before the bad stuff happens. Now, of course, in conscious awareness, we know it's not really bad stuff. Okay, when we go right to the core of our true nature, what existence is, there's nothing bad. There's just energy, creation, happening. It's happening, it's coming, it's going, it's alive, it's transforming. It's a volcano, it's a calm, quiet lake. It's the birth of a beautiful new little baby and the passing of an old woman. Creation, existence is a happening. And think about the other responses of the children as well. What were they talking about? They were talking about alive experiences. They weren't talking about dead things. Everything they expressed was an aliveness in their life. Love is life, aliveness itself. It's not fixed to one thing. It is what we are and what we know before we take on the bad stuff, the stories. We may as well use another word for the bad stuff, ego. You know, ego really is that aspect of ourself that starts to take on stories in such a way that we come to believe them as being real, even though they're not. Sometimes, though, we do get stories or messages, forms of stories that actually are shaped in a way that they point us back to truth. They invite us to drop our conditions and to look into that place of our being that reveals our true nature anyway. It's not something we have to become or create. It's what we always are in every moment and why we're here. It is the energy, the intelligence, the movement behind everything. And sometimes those stories, of course, come in a mixed bag. You know, sometimes messages of truth come surrounded by some of the ego stuff as well. And that's one of the challenges we face now, is that many of the sources of inspiration have become somewhat misconstrued because of a lot of the fear-based stories that surround it. And I guess one of those great examples is Christianity. We know at the heart of Christianity there are some beautiful seeds of truth. We also know that there's a lot of dead weight wrapped around those wonderful seeds of truth because of the historical anecdotes and the conditional references, which are to do with a time long gone, long past. If we look past that and we just pay attention to some of those seeds of truth, we're pointed back again and again and again to the reminders. So, for example, one of the well-known messages is, as children, ye shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think Jack, that was the name of that little boy, Jack, hit the nail on the head. And why? Why did Jack hit the nail on the head? Because still in that child state where he was not yet bogged down with the conditions and the opinions, he was still in touch. He was still in touch. Don't even say with a something, because it's not a something. And look at all the other children's examples. I could have gone on with the rest of their versions. They all are in touch with the living experience, the living expression. And when you look at your own experience, it's in the moments that you let go of your adult mind. You let go of your conditioned idea of who you are, of what existence is, and you become curious again. You are in touch with the now. You are in touch with existence simply as it is. There's no projection of the story, the opinion. You're just in touch. And in that moment, you feel and you know love. You know the love that you are. You know the love that is the universe, and you know it is all okay, and you know that it really all is love for love, being love. That's it. That's all it is. If we hold on to our adult version of love, actually, we become very possessive of certain events or people, and consequently, we're actually not really, truly, richly in love. We are in need. When we're in need, we're in the story. And when we're in the story, we lose sight of the perfection of love, the experience of ourself in every single moment. And when that happens, then we do have the questions. Why? But why? Ultimately, it points us to something even bigger. As we look at the experience just at this micro level, okay, you look at maybe an attachment or a judgment, and you're so fixated at the micro level, the answer is still love. To open more in love, to embrace more in love, to express love, to give love. But at the macro level, love is what we always are and always have been. It is not the singular events of our life. So if we cling on to the micro level of love, we go back around the same loop. We tip ourselves again into the why, and consequently, the story and the fear and the struggle. We tip ourselves again into need. We lose sight of the transcendent, eternal love that we are. So it's very important we have the way to cultivate a relationship between these aspects of ourself as a human experience, to have the insight of love that nourishes us, that appeases our confusions, our uncertainties in the micro experience. So we can trust in our life journey. We can trust that actually it is a living process of love, born from love, for love, and always back into love. Okay? And that's where it points us to the macro. Every single thing that is happening at the micro level is leading us to the macro. What do I mean by that? I mean that which is your true self, the greater self, the far greater self beyond this body-mind, beyond this momentary, transient life. You are that love which continues on beyond this known incarnation or experience of life, whether you believe in reincarnation or not. There is only one thing that continues on beyond each moment and beyond this life, and that is love. Now, if you trust in this, if you have the communion with that essence of love within your being, and I'm talking at a soul level, I'm not talking just at the micro level of lived experiences. If you have that level of communion with love, then you are truly in love. In every moment, with everything. And there is no longer a why, ever. Ever. Why is irrelevant. When you drop the if, you drop the why, you just come to what is. So I'd like to invite the space now for contemplation with love, with the great eternal, infinite presence of love. That right here, right now, you just allow yourself to open to this which is the eternal self, which continues on in between the moments, beyond the moments, and that you allow that to enter deeply into your awareness, that you carry yourself back into that awareness of that depth of eternal love. And from that connection, then contemplate whatever it has been in your life that plagues you with the question, why? So breathing into your innermost space. You might start again with three deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth, just allowing yourself with the breath to empty into the innermost space, to empty into your innermost center. And with each breath, as you breathe, just naturally and gently, each in-breath, each out-breath, taking you deeper and deeper into this innermost presence and essence that is awareness, and that here within awareness is this one which has been forever, this which is one, this which is all presence, all love, this which is in its infinite nature, is eternally present, all connected, all transcendent and all immanent. It is the totality of love. And as you rest deeper and deeper into your center, feel yourself being in touch. Just being in touch here now with this which is the aware self. Allowing yourself to be open to the eternal nature of this awareness, of this essence that is love. as you are centered and present and open. Allow yourself to acknowledge whatever insight you may have had or whatever it is you just feel and experience as you are in touch and open in the awareness of love. With this acknowledgement, take a moment to give thanks. And with that gratitude now, take a deep breath in, noticing that as you breathe in, you are here, simply here. You are this moment. You are this presence, this awareness, this aliveness. You are the creation of love, the unfolding of love. Within you and all around you is the experience, the play, and the wonder of love. Take a deep breath in now and gently stretch and open your eyes. Now naturally, because we've become so accustomed to the stories and so identified with stories, it's a process, it's a journey to open fully and absolutely to the love that is in every single thing. Yet the more we do, the more we realize our true nature. Do you know that to the very degree that you do not love, you will have the very same degree of a sense of duality? You will also have the feeling, the belief of death, loss, lack. When you have a greater and greater degree of love for everything, for all things, you come to the totality of love. When you come to the totality of love, you know eternal life. When you know eternal life, there's absolute peace, bliss. That's all. Joy, wonder, adventure. Some of you are familiar with an event from my own life, this particular life. And I feel that this particular event is an example of this very truth. Some of you are familiar with this event, that in my mid-teen years, I was assaulted by a man who so desperately wanted me that with my refusal became absolutely violently demanding. So this man raped me and attempted to murder me. Well, in this happening, I was so completely one-pointed in presence and awareness and consciousness. So completely and utterly present. So totally conscious and aware. That the states that I had been experiencing all my life of oneness, connectedness, etc., became intensely magnified, amplified, which is strange to even say that, because awareness of infinite being doesn't seem like it could get magnified. Yet it did. In this living state and experience, as this man was trying to murder me, that state became so intensified, I lived completely the experience through every one of my senses that I was him, he was I, the room was self, the self was the room. There was only self, one being. There was not this and that and other, it was just one. Within that oneness was still the recognition of the parts, and that this man was the aspect of the self that had forgotten love so deeply, and only had the experience of the stories of not love, that in that pain of disconnection from love was so completely and utterly desolate and desperate that it was the only way he could reach out was to rape and attempt to murder. Now, as I saw that and knew that and realized he had forgotten love and had taken on the story that he is not love, he is not lovable, he was completely broken and completely twisted and distorted. Because of the oneness and that pure presence of consciousness, all I could feel was this infinite love. This love was so deep and vast and infinite, all I could feel was this prayer that this man, this soul, could awaken to the love that he is, could know and remember he is love. He is born from love. He is love. He is loved. He is lovable. Now, in that moment of that intensified state of love, complete and absolute embrace, the encompassing love, the room lit up, was full of angels, and this man who was murdering me dropped to his knees, stopped murdering me, looked up into the light and said, "My God, what have I done? I'm killing an angel. Oh my God, help." So this man had an awakening. Of course, the dynamic of that event changed. But because of the degree to which he had beaten, violated this body went into a coma. Yet I was awake. I was completely awake. I could see, feel, hear, experience everything still continuing as myself, the self, everything. It was completely and utterly awake. Now, when I came to from that coma, what brought me to actually, this quite significant as well, was the fact that my father and my mother were standing at the foot of the bed, and I could feel and hear, of course, all of their thoughts. Again, I'm the one self, so I'm experiencing myself as my father and my mother. And they're lamenting their torment that this had happened because of their forgetting of love, their struggle to know and to understand me through love. This event had ended up happening because I was living on the streets. And as I saw my mother and my father's lamenting, I was in this state of all consciousness of every incarnation, everything that had ever been, everything that is, was, why it had been created. And I knew why that experience had been created. I knew that I had come to this life for what I had come for. So I came back into the body, and my father, as he saw my eyes flicker as I woke up from that coma, said, "I love you," for the first time in his life. You know what? I was in this absolute pure state of such awake, knowing being and oneness. I was not broken. I was not violated. I was not a victim. I was not in pain. I was the awareness that I am that which is unbroken, untainted. I am that which is eternal life. I am. Many people, despite the fact I've written about this, and people who've even read this in the autobiography, many people have still said to me, "Oh, why? Why did you have to go through such trauma?" That was a demonstration of the totality of love. When you can love the aspect of yourself, the universe, that is the destroyer, when you can love the aspect of yourself, that is the violator. When you can love the aspect of yourself that takes from you that which you have had, you know eternal life. If you look at your life journey as an incremental progression, a dance of sequences of quest and invitation of love, you will know it has all been perfect. It is all your orchestration to come to that place that is only love, to become the demonstration of love, to know the totality of love. That's it. Every single thing you've been experiencing has incrementally been leading you home. So what happens for you when you open yourself to love and you allow yourself to be the presence of love in the face of those questions? What happens? What did you experience just in this little space of opening into love, letting love? What happened for you? Yes, go ahead.
Just this, like melting, like accepting more of these parts of myself that I've been ashamed of. Like just, I have a lot of violence in me. So just being more at peace with all the these parts of me that I have tried to look away from. And that's the story. Thank you so much for sharing it. It just, it's a very helpful story. I felt as if you told it, like, for me specifically, which you did. because of, like, some birth trauma, I also, like, that's part of why I've had so much violence in me, is also, like, in our country, all the babies were taken away after birth for 2 weeks from their mother. Mm. And you could only, like, see on feeding times. And I thought that there was no thought, I was an infant. I knew for a fact that my mother left me because there was something wrong with me. Mm. And, like, fundamentally, I knew that there's definitely something wrong with me and I can't be loved. Mm-hmm. Because that was the only conclusion the infant could make. I was always looking for that love from my mother. I discovered the same thing that you told in the story that you experienced. Mm-hmm. I discovered that I wanted to take that love that was denied to me, what I didn't know how to allow myself feel as an infant. On some level, I wanted to take it by force.
Yeah, okay.
So thanks for the story.
You're most welcome. Now, what I would like to highlight in relation to this aspect of held identification, held story, held perception, is that it does relate to the journey of evolution through the micro experience. Okay, so by micro, I mean the identification with body, mind, the belief that you are this. And when you are fixated in the belief of you are this, you are trapped at the micro level. Now, that's not actually wrong. It's part of the creative journey of consciousness that we go through that. We go through the passage of that fixation. However, gradually, we, through natural experiences, constantly through lifetime upon lifetime, the strength of that fixation begins to dissolve. And we begin to experience and encounter the aspect of ourself that is the macro, the interconnected, the holistic self. Okay, so we begin to awaken to this again. This is one of the primary reasons why the practice of meditation, the gift of sharing in conscious presence, is so, so valuable and is something to treasure beyond measure. Because it is that which will cultivate your reawakening to the macro, the universal eternal self. It is that which will give you the conduit to rise above, to transcend those fixations and the rejections of the nature of self. So the reason I wrote and shared the story of this particular life is very central to that event. It is an invitation to all humanity to realize and to recognize that in every single moment, even that which you might consider the most violating, the most unreasonable, that surely you can't say that's okay. Even in the face of that, there is a greater love. There is a reason of love underlying it. When I was in the hospital and I was in that presence, that state of awareness of knowing eternal self, I also saw with absolute clarity the exact chosen orchestration of that event, that it was chosen and created exactly as the opportunity to demonstrate unconditional love, pure, absolute, unconditional love, and that that particular soul was at a point in his journey that he wanted to be touched by unconditional love in order to reawaken. you are part of that reawakening. Whatever is happening in your life that you call a grievance is your orchestration to awaken to the macro self that you are. And in doing so, to be that demonstration of unconditional love in this world. And as you bring a demonstration of unconditional love, you bring transformation. That demonstration of unconditional love was not just an embodied state of pure consciousness. It wasn't just that. It was a demonstration of the power of love. So the limited story of love in the human experience is actually very weak. Remember I was saying before that because it's so attached to the micro experience, so dependent on the micro, it's so incredibly fragile. You know why? Because the micro level of experience is impermanent. It is transient. It comes and it goes. Absolutely, that is inevitable. Therefore, it is very, very fragile when you invest all of your needs in it. Remember I said then you're no longer in love, you are in need. And when you are in need, when you live from that micro level of love, you actually really do not know or trust the infinite power of love. And so you do everything. You do everything as a working of fear. You employ the ego, you employ your fears to try to control, shape reality into your fear-based hopes. No, I don't want this to end. No, I don't want that to pass. No, I don't want this person to be that way. No, I didn't want it to happen that way. Reality is reality. Reality is reality, not what you want to shape it to be. Now, when you employ the ego or the fear-based stories to try to protect yourself, to hold on to so-called love, these encounters of love, you disconnect yourself energetically from the infinite power of love. You don't trust in it. You don't have a certain awareness of that truth. And when you don't have a trust in that power, you don't surrender yourself to it. You don't invest everything into it. And yet, it is the infinite power of all creation. It is the eternal power. It is that which is always present, continues beyond the coming and going of all these experiences, this impermanence. So that event, as I was conveying, was much more than just a demonstration of unconditional love. It was the demonstration of the power of love. In the presence of the totality of love, the absolute oneness, the absolute love of even that which presented itself as destroyer, there was an absolute reunion with love. That man had a satori. He stopped, he woke up, he realized what he was doing. He woke up to love and the quest to love. Furthermore, the body, although the body had been profoundly, physically violated usually, in usual terms, you would actually see a very disfigured body here. That is how violated the body was. Yet this body healed miraculously in a way that was not expected. That's actually not really the most magical or miraculous aspect. In human terms, what is really more so-called miraculous about that is the fact that I am not emotionally scarred. But I do not see myself as a victim. I do not see the man as the perpetrator. I see the manifestation of love. I see the manifestation of life. I am the manifestation of love. I am the manifestation of life, eternal. Now it takes those moments of stillness and silence for every single one of us to return to that quality of our being that is the great infinite eternal one, that is not fixated in the body-mind. It is why every great being, sage, enlightened one, has espoused the way of meditation, of silence, of stillness, of selflessness. It is why. It is the only way you may awaken to that which you are. It is the only way that you may move into that which you are truly as the totality of yourself, to know yourself in peace and in love, and that your entire existence has been a work of love. That's all. So when we still ourselves, when we drop beneath the mind and into the essence of the now, we come into presence, we come into touch with awareness, with existence as it is, we become as children again. Heaven isn't somewhere else. Heaven is what we are, what we have always been, what is in every moment eternally, that which is perfect and whole beyond the coming and going, that which contains itself as destroyer and creator and is forever the perfect being that it is. So next time you notice this uprising of a "but why" or "why not" or an "oh, but if this is that, then why?" Any uprising of an objection, a resistance, a sense of conflict, present the question of love. So meet it with another question. How is this showing me love? How do I create love with this? How do I love through this? And you will have your way. You will know your way. Guarantee you. You'll come to peace. You'll come to insight. If you forget to bring yourself into the company of love, the awareness of love, and you just stay put with the objections, the why objections, you will feel very stuck until eventually you do get to the question of love, which leads you simply to love. I think there were a couple of other hands that went up before, so perhaps we'll just have a couple more questions or sharings before we close for the evening.
Thank you. While I was breathing and I was seeing a wonderful light that just came. And I heard some music. And if you don't mind, can I share it?
Please.
Okay.
you, dear one. I feel that really sums up what was expressed earlier and that the children were expressing, and that is that love is aliveness. It is alive. It's actually eternally alive. Some of you may have seen the inspiration, this week's inspiration. How many of you have seen the Facebook? Anyone remember what the inspiration was this Monday? Well, very close. Truth is not a concept, it is an energy. In the same way, truth is love, love is truth. Love is not a concept, it is an energy. And what is energy? It is aliveness. And what is aliveness? The here and now, forever. Aliveness is the coming and the going, that which it rises from and that which it returns to, infinitely, eternally. That's why love is something you cannot think. It is only something you can feel. Let us take a moment to dedicate our sharing, ourself, our life, our experiences, our questions, our living process to love. All that we are, all that we've ever been, all that we continue to be, may it be recognized that it is the creation of love and the invitation of love. However you are, wherever you are, may you remember this and live this. May you come to truly see and know that your whole existence is really the creation of love and for the purpose of loving. And where is that? How can that be? How can you express and experience that? In the now. It is not really such a great or overwhelming task. It is simply the invitation for you to be present to the love that is available, that is the invitation in each moment. So let's take a moment to recognize this love within ourselves, within all beings, and that as we do, we are embracing the totality of ourself, of all existence, in love. Blessed be. Thank you for coming and sharing the journey of love.